Blog Talk Radio.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed, the number you have dialed, we're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Cherie. If you're tuning in now, you're listening to Dorm Room Radio, which is an extension of Dorm Room Television. So this month is Women's History Month. If you don't know, now you know. And we decided to do something really, really special. We wanted to launch a Women Making History radio series to basically highlight some amazing women that we found in different, you know, different fields, different careers. And we wanted to speak to them and get to know who they were, how did they get their start, their journey, their, you know, their story behind their glory, basically. And if people are interested in, you know, taking these different career paths that each of these women possess, this is like a great series to listen to. And to kick things off, we have author Rashida White on the line. Are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Rashida. How you doing?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking part in this series. I wanted to reach out to you because, like I said, I read your book before and I thought it was so great. A lot of people don't know that you wrote your own memoir, and I thought that was pretty dope just because, you know, not a lot of people are taking the time out, you know, to write about themselves and to put their stories out there on the line. So, like, tell them about yourself. Tell us all about yourself. I know about you, but just tell us about yourself, where you from, where you grew up at.
Okay, well, I'm Rashida White. I am an author of two books. They're titled In My Lifetime, which is part one, My Hard Knock Life, which was part two of my book. I was born and raised in the Bedford-Stuyvesant area of Brooklyn, and pretty much that's about it, Brooklyn girl.
I'm a Brooklyn girl, too, so I definitely know, you know, that Brooklyn pride. So basically, what inspired you to write a memoir? Because you're not, I'm not trying to be funny, you're not an older woman, so what was, like, the deciding factor that said, you know what, I'm going to tell my story and I'm going to put it out there for people to read about it?
I found myself, like, going through a lot of different trials and tribulations and going through the same revolving door. And as a child, I enjoyed writing in a journal every day. And I thought about, let me just put my story out there so other people that's afraid to tell their story, you know, would get the courage to one day speak for themselves. And I was meeting different people going through the same thing that I had went through. So that's what really made me want to put my story out there.
Okay, now before we get into the story, because the story is, to me, quite, I want to say, it's one of those stories that is like a, it takes you on a roller coaster, and you're just like, dag, this really happened. But the title of your book is called In My Lifetime, that's the first book, and the second book is My Hard Knock Life. Now, I know why you named the books those titles. Now, tell everybody else, how did you come up with those titles?
I came up with the titles because In My Lifetime was one of Jay-Z's favorite albums that I liked. And usually the majority of the things that he rapped about, me, myself, and my family was, like, literally, like, going through those same things. So that's the reason why I named the book In My Lifetime and My Hard Knock Life. Those were two great songs on Jay-Z's album, and I really am, like, a Jay-Z fan, so I decided to name the book after his song.
Okay. Now, what a lot of people don't know, because they maybe haven't read the book yet, well, part one especially, because that's what I really, like, moved me to really want to contact you, because it has a part two, was that you dealt with a lot of, like, real issues that I don't think that most people deal with in a lifetime. You dealt with that a lot in your younger life, from, you know, being in a domestic violence relationship, to being homeless, to losing a parent, to just anything that you could think of that could go wrong, went wrong. Was there ever a point in time where you thought in those moments, in those situations, that you would ever, like, you know, make it out? Like, how did you deal with that?
I dealt with it. I read the Bible a lot. I spoke with other female friends that I had that was going through the same thing that I was going with. I seek comfort in male friends. And I prayed on it. I wrote every day. I met different people. I started hanging out and doing different things. But it was a struggle. It was really a struggle. It was a struggle.
Now, one of the biggest, I want to say biggest stories in the book, especially in my lifetime, you have a ongoing relationship, and it's, well, and in hindsight, I would say it's unhealthy because you deal with a lot of domestic violence. Now, when you were going through in your relationship, did you write or did you feel like it was going to be never ending? Because you do, like, it goes back and forth. Like, it's a realistic approach to your relationship, and I just wanted to know what made you want to share that, and did you write while you were going through it, or did you have to wait until after that you were out of it to, you know, be able to sit down and be like, okay, this was a domestic violence relationship, and, you know, I want to talk about this. Like, how was your process with writing that dark period?
Well, during that time, that story was a part of my daily journal. So it wasn't like I was writing specifically about that issue that I was going through at that time. That was something that was a part of something I wrote about every day. And after I was out of that unhealthy relationship, I was able to sit down and take that journal and write everything and put it together and add it in my book. So it was really like an experience that I was living every day. But I still wrote it in my journal, like just like if I was to write, I woke up this morning and brushed my teeth and washed my face. So it was really like real life actual events happening to me, but I just always kept it in a journal.
And what was the deciding factor to say that out? You wanted to share your story. I know you put the book out there, but were you ever scared, like not trying to be funny, because these are like real life events, and it really happened to you, were you ever worried about the backlash that it would cause, you know, maybe friends or family or people that didn't actually know? Because, you know, you could go to work or have friends or people be in your life, and they really don't know what's going on. And to now expose that part of yourself in all of these aspects and be that raw, did you ever think that, dang, this might not work out, or I'm scared, or what's going to happen after the books, after they come out?
I never really thought about failing or being scared, because I always, you know, was told that if you fear something or if you say you're not going to do it, then that's like you're failing. And I did it because I wanted to help other women that was battling domestic abuse and battling the same, you know, same things that I was battling, and I didn't really care about what someone else was going to think about me or what a family member might have said or what a sibling, you know, may have felt like, why did you say that? Why did you say that? Because it's the truth. It's my story, and I wanted my story to be put out there so that I can help the next person that's not able to tell their story.
So even back piggybacking off of that, you know, the answer that you just gave me, what is the one thing that you would tell young women or adult women that are going through this? Because, like I said, you talk about domestic violence. You were homeless for a period of time, and you know, you lost your mom. It was so many. When I read the book, I was like, oh, it's like it was one thing after the next, after the next, after the next. It almost seemed like this should be a fake story, because for it to be so real is actually heartbreaking to read. So, you know, people go through these things every day, but maybe they're not telling anyone, or it's too much. So what would you tell, like, a young woman or an adult woman, like I said? What would be your advice?
I would tell her or him, because I've met different men that says that, you know, like, I read your story. Like, I would say continue to seek comfort in something that makes you happy, someone that makes you happy. Go to church, you know, seek comfort in others. And I would tell them not to ever give up. And if you're in that type of situation, whether it's domestic abuse or whatever, I think that person would know when it's enough. You know, they would know when it's enough, because I went through it many, many years. And I didn't know until I really got to that point that it was enough. So nobody, you really wouldn't know until you're going through it. And when you say it's enough, I had many friends, even my friends that was characters in my book, that told me numerous of times, like, get out of it, get out of it, get out of it. I knew it was bad for me, but I still, you know, I still, some part of me wasn't smart enough to say leave until I got tired and I really, you know, I really got help and I left.
So because this is Women's History Month, the question that we're going to ask everybody who does this interview for the whole month, who have been some inspiring women, even if they're fictional characters or real people or people on television, who's, you know, kept you going or who's been that, you know, rock or inspiration for you as a writer, as a woman, as a friend, as a mother, as a daughter, you know, all of those things?
I would say my children, my two daughters. I have a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old. And I would say my mom and my sisters. Being that, like, I'm with them all the time and we share a lot of things and my kids is with me every day, my kids can relate to struggle and they can relate through anything that I'm going through. I watched my mother struggle with my siblings, and it wasn't easy. And I come from a relatively large family. And, you know, when you go through tough times and desperate measures, you would think that you can rely and certain people will be there for you. I had no one to rely on but my mother. So my mother is really, like, the person who I would say, my mother, my sisters, and my children, my daughters.
Okay. That's actually perfect. Because I know oftentimes a lot of people get into these situations and they don't have anyone and they feel like they're actually sinking deeper. And what made you write the part two? Because when I read part one, I was like, well, okay, it had an ending where if you didn't want to write a part two, it could actually, you know, it could or it could not have a part two. So what made you say, okay, after doing part one, I'm going to do part two?
Will there be
a part three?
part one, there was, when I wrote part one, it was like 700 pages. And I decided, I was like, I don't want to publish a book and it's 700 pages. Like, if I
yeah, so that's a very
200,
long.
You know, that's a very long book. So I was like, I'll publish one part and then I'll end it when it's, you know, when that part of time was ended in the story. And then I'll pick up from where I left off from and, you know, so the readers would want to know what happened. And that's exactly what they wanted. They was asking, when are you going to do part two? Or when are you, you know, when is, like, it's taking you so long, I got to read part one over. And that's the effect I wanted to have on the reader. So that's what I did. I put out part one, and I just cut it in half until I put out the second part. But it was actually just one book.
So will there be a part three and a part four? Because 700 pages is a lot of pages.
That's a lot of pages. Part three, there may not be a part three because part three is sort of kind of like more digging into not really about no more about Rashida White. It's more digging into other family members that's a white also. And I don't want to tell their story, you know, so I would really, you know, I'm going to pretty much just leave it as part one and part two, and that's it, and just finish my story, that's it.
Now, what would be some advice would you give to people who are trying to become writers, who are, you know, whether they want to write about themselves or whether they want to write, you know, stories, what would be your advice to them? Because even though you are creative and you write, you know, your creativity, that's where you thrive in, it's still a business. Like, the book business is still, you know, a hard business to get into. So what's some of your, like, tips, basically?
I would tell them to never give up. Like, you're going to hit brick walls, and a lot of people can't go through brick walls. But I would say never give up. If it's something that you want to do, continue to do it. And, you know, you can only dream for yourself. You dream big, and nobody is going to want to see you more happier than yourself. So I would say never give up and continue to do, you know, the best that you can do for yourself. There's no better love than self-love.
Okay, and seeing how you were able to, you know, create these books, and they are memoirs, are you going to write more books, or will you just, you know, and what type of genres do you want to go into?
I am going to write more books. I've written more books. I have maybe about 7 children books that I've wrote that I'm just waiting to publish. I'm going to wait for the right time, season, and, you know, to publish them. But I wrote 7 books already, children books, and I'm not going to go any further. I'm going to stick with children books. I have a special needs child, and a lot of kids don't really know about other children that, you know, that are special needs. So I want to focus on kids that have autism and kids that have, you know, cancer and other diseases that they don't learn about you know, during their childhood in school, they bump into these stories when they become, you know, when they adolescent years or when they lose a family member, you know, that has a certain type of illness. So I'm going to focus on children books and just move forward with that. But I'm not going to do any more memoirs. I think part one and part two I've told enough. And if anything changed in my life, maybe I will write another book in reference to me. But moving forward, I'm going to just stick with children books.
I think children books are actually really, like, great, especially all of the topics that you said you want to cover, because, like you said, it's a very, you know, sticky subject, you know, with children, and they are very aware, and they're like sponges, and they have so many questions. So getting into children books, especially about those topics, would be, you know, I'm definitely going to give them to my niece and stuff when you create them.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Another question I had for you, because I really wanted to know, when people read your book, you know, both of the books, because they're so raw and uncut, what do you want people to be, like, take away from it? What do you want people to think about, or what do you want them to learn? You know what I mean? Because it is a real book. It's not a story.
No, it's a real book. I want them to learn that that quiet person inside of them can, you know, eventually speak. I want them to know that, you know, just because you're homeless or just because you don't have this, that doesn't take away from who you are, you know, as a person. And I want them to know that they can be phenomenal and that they should, you know, they can be able to deal with any struggle and deal with things head on. And, you know, just be persistent. Don't give up and deal with things, like I said, head on.
And what do you want people to know most about yourself? Like, if you had to tell people, okay, this is me and I represent fill in the blank.
I would say I represent strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been through a substantial amount of pain and hurt. And in quiet as kept, my family had no idea that I was going through anything until I, you know, released my book. So I would say strength. I'm strong. My mother raised me to be strong. I'm able to deal with people every day. I'm able to deal with the bill that can't get paid because the money is not there. Like, I'm just able to deal. And I try, you know, I've came to a certain point in my life where I don't complain about nothing because I've seen so much people that, you know, that going through and that have went through worse than what I am going through. So I try not to complain. I accept things for what they are. And, you know, I just live my life and try to be a greater person every day.
That's amazing. What has been one of the highest, like, moments of your career so far as a writer? Like, let's get on something great. Like, what has been one of those things you'd be like, wow, that happened to me?
I think my high point is that I am able to inspire.
Okay.
You know, I pass people and, you know, I be on the train and different bookstores and, you know, they notice me. They know who I am, you know, and you know, and then they go into deep, like, wow, this happened and that happened, and you really inspired me. Like, when I read your book, I was really having, like, a bad day, and I've been through that. Like, that same thing you've been through in your relationship, I've been through that. And then, and, you know, when I read your book, I was inspired. So for me to be able to smile every day and still be able to touch people without, like, literally, like, touching them, that I'm happy that I'm able to inspire. So I would say that was, you know, really a high point from in my perspective.
And if you have any low points, what's something that you would share and actually try to help somebody get over that hurdle if they don't have to, you know, go through that when it comes to writing and being an author?
I don't really have no low points.
Well, that's good.
No low points. I really don't. I can't think of any low point. No.
Okay. So what's coming up next for you? Like, what should we be looking out for in the future besides the children's books? Or let us know when they're gonna drop. Right now, this is the time to do your promo. You know, to get that out there. Where can we find your the two books that you have out right now? In My Lifetime and My Hard Knock Life.
Yeah, my you can find both copies of my book in BarnesandNobles.com, Amazon.com, Ingram, and Lulu.com, and there are selective bookstores throughout Brooklyn that you can walk in, and you can order my book. It's not in the store, but you can go there and give them, you know, Rashida White, my name or the titles of my book, and they can place the order for you and, you know, and ship it to you. But I want to be everywhere. Like, I want to start maybe, like, independent film channel. I want to, mm-hmm. I love independent. You know, I'm not really in a rush to be, like, right there tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I respect growing in a business. So that's what I want to do. I want to travel maybe over the summer. I'll probably do, like, 5 different cities and do more
book
signings.
Wow, and that was about to lead me into my next question. Where do you see yourself
really?
In 5 years?
I see myself in 5 years on billboards everywhere. And I want to be bigger than life. You know, I want to be out there. I want to, even if you don't know my name, you see my face, you know who I am. You know,
mm-hmm.
I want my last name to mean something. I just want to be phenomenal. I want to be able to help that person that's reaching and there's nobody, you know, their hand to pull them up. So that's where I want to be in the next 5 years.
That's I mean, it's no better way to put it. And since we have a couple minutes left, I want to do flash questions. Now, what flash questions are, they are questions that you answer very quickly without thinking too much. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So the first question is, what is your favorite time of day?
Can you say that again?
What is your favorite time of day?
Morning.
Okay. Your favorite writer?
Zane.
Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi, of course.
Favorite place to write?
My bedroom.
And if you were not a writer, then what would you be doing?
Can you say that again? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
If you were not a writer, like if you were not a writer, that this wasn't your career, what else would you be doing? Like if you weren't a writer, what would you be doing right now?
Be making clothes, fashion industry.
Okay, I got that. And one word, who would you say Rashida White is?
I have to think about it. So I would say phenomenal.
And that's the perfect way, phenomenal. That's what we want to, you know, have. And that's why we wanted to start this series, because we feel like it's so many women like yourself that, you know, a book author, it's so many people that are aspiring to do what you've already done. And to know that you had a real story, it wasn't just, you know, I woke up one day and I decided to write. You know, that's the reason why, you know, we wanted to have you on the show to, like, let people know that it's real, but you can get out of whatever situation you're going through and you can turn it into a triumph. Because who would have thought, you know, I'm not sure, I'm not saying, I'm trying to speak for your life, but, you know, you while you were in those situations that you could turn that into something that not only could help people, but, I mean, not trying to be funny, make money from it, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, I wanted people to listen into that and to get your story, and thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And, you know, I want everybody to buy the books. Let people know, In My Lifetime is part one, My Hard Knock Life is part two, Rashida White. Thank you so much for being here, and, you know,
you're very
everybody
welcome.
Keep looking out for her,
because
she's doing her thing. All right, guys, that was Rashida White, and, you know, this has been a great interview. I wanted everybody to listen to her speak, because I felt like she has so much to offer. The books, her interview doesn't do it justice. The books are very, very raw. It's real, and I feel like it is inspiring. She is a Brooklyn-born woman, and, I'm from Brooklyn, so I love it. But get the books if you can. Even if you read a synopsis of the book, it'll make you want to buy the book just because so much happens so quickly. And like I said, this is a series. Every Sunday for the month of March, we will be talking to another amazing trailblazing woman. You know, next week we have a blogger, actually, and she writes about finance, Candace Marie. And you're going to hear how you can save money, how you can invest, how you can do all those beautiful things. And so make sure you tune in. Same time, same day. Next week. All right, this is Cherie, Creative Dorm Room Television, and keep listening to us. And make sure if you're on the web, follow us, tweet us, hit us up on Instagram. Everything is Dorm Room TV. Visit our site, www.dormroom.tv, and stay in contact with us. We'll be looking for you. We'll be retweeting you. We want to talk to you. We want to see you. And, you know, keep following us. And we have a book club, the Dorm Room Book Club. Make sure all my book club members, check your emails, because we have a new book that just dropped. This month is the first month of March, so we have a new book for the Dorm Room Book Club members. I love you guys. You're always great, and I'll talk to you next Sunday. Another great interview. Have a great Sunday. Stay warm. Stay warm because it's horrible outside. Well, if you're in New York, if you're in California, you don't have to worry about that. But since I'm in New York, it's cold and it's raining. I mean, it's snowing. I think it's raining now, but, you know, stay warm, guys. See you later.